Blog Talk Radio.
Donnie, Hotel, Assalamu Alaikum, Shalom Alaikum, and all those beautiful words of peace. I'm your host, Brother Derek Jabril, and you are listening to The Narrative. Today is November the 28th, 2021, and we are live on Blog Talk Radio, speaking to you today. Now, today's show is called The Mutiny Against Leadership. The Mutiny Against Leadership. I want to start off the program with, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad is his last and greatest apostle. I want to greet all of you, my beloved dear brothers and sisters, nationally and internationally, with the greeting words of peace. We say it in the Arabic language, Assalamu Alaikum. You know, Master Farad Muhammad, the teacher of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, said to him upon his leaving that, Elijah, I'm leaving you with the hardest job given to any man ever in his hand, the 23rd Psalm of David. and from what we understand with the history, and drove away. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, like anybody, would feel capable that I am ready, after the teacher have taught him for 3.5 years, that I am ready to accept the challenge and I would not fail in the mission that is placed before me. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad started in the ranks like everybody else. He sat down in the chair or stood up next to the brother in the meeting places to hear from Master Farhad Muhammad, gave money to the cause, bear witness to the truth. He was speaking. And because Brother Elijah, everybody would greet him just like everybody else. You know, we greet each other with assalamu alaikum in the rank. And then you return the greetings, wa alaikum salam, give a smile at one another, you shake hands. You know, but it was stated in the history that after a speech once with Master Farhad Muhammad, Elijah Muhammad walked up to him. And as Master Farhad Muhammad was shaking everybody's hand, Elijah went to him, shook his hand, and he said to the teacher that I know who you are. And the master bent down, he looked at him, and he bent down and said to him in his ear, that yes, you may know, but don't tell anybody. This was the beginning of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's 40-year-plus journey in the ranks of the Nation of Islam. You know, Elijah, like everybody else, sat in the ranks with others, worked side by side with others. And I'm sure he was eating and drinking and fellowshipping with the brothers and sisters. And no one really paid attention to his commitment to the teacher until he started to rise up in the ranks amongst them. You know, I heard these words from an R&B singer named Tyreek. And these words hold true today. He said that for every level, there is another devil waiting to challenge your ascendancy. Think that it is an accident that as you move up in the ranks amongst the same class of people, that you will not have to deal with the same people and their lies, innuendos, gossip concerning the person and reality of you and your character as you rise up in the ranks of a leader and leadership. No, we're going to talk about this today. Because the toughest conflict that one must deal with is the conflict of other human beings whose misunderstanding, dislike, hatred, jealousy, and envy one must face as you rise in the ranks amongst men and women who start from the same ranking as you. But there is a difference, as we are going to explore today. You know, this happens in religion all the time. It happens in the workplace all the time. And the same dynamic can be found in some of the homes between the siblings and their parents. That seems to favor one child above another. The Nation of Islam was born out of the ranks of the economically poor and downtrodden black people of Detroit, Michigan. In a section called The Black Bottom, I have always wondered why, as a young man, I would hear that the black community is full of envy and jealousy. And it's not just the black community. You have it in the white community. You have it in the Hispanic community. You have it in the Asian community. It's just not relegated to black people in general. Because some of your biggest protractors, especially if we're talking about workplace, could not even be your own people. It could be a person of another race. Of which black people, we know that all too well. For example, I had a man that said to me once that he was made a supervisor over a Walmart there in probably, I'm not sure if he said Alabama or Arkansas. And he said a white person came up to him because, you know, he had an open door policy to where anybody can come talk to him at any time. So he said that this man came to him that day. And he said, well, you said that I or any of us can come to you at any time because you have an open door policy. And he said, yes, I did. And the man came in. And he said that I don't know how I am going. Now, this is a white person talking to a black man now. I don't know how I'm going to tell my son that I'm working under a N. It bothered him just that bad to be working under a black person to where he felt compelled enough and bothered enough to go up to this man and say this to this man. So for those of you who are black out there who are quick to always be protractors of your people, I want you to understand that it's not just black people that will give you trouble. There are white people that will give you trouble too. There are Hispanic people that give you trouble too. There are Asian people that will give you trouble too in your rise in leadership. I mean, it is something to where you could be working in the same ranks with people. And boy, you are part of them. But the minute you begin to rise up in rank, then the big circle that you had of people and influence that you had began to start shrinking now from amongst the common workers. Then next thing you know is you find yourself placed in a position of separation. You're seen separate from the ranks in which you are a part of. This is a damn shame. But I'm gonna move on. You know, I would hear this crazy talk about how our community is full of envy and jealousy, and you know, and it's true in some aspects. But you know, but these that keeps us, they would say that these are the primary factors that keep us from rising as a people. And when you think of how so, you know, in the message to the black man by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the messenger of Allah wrote that one of the gravest handicaps amongst black people is that there is no love of self nor love for his own or her own kind. This not having love for self is the root cause of hate, dislike, disunity, disagreement, quarreling, disunity, betraying, stool pigeons, and fighting and killing one another. This is always the human condition that destroys perfectly good relationships and working conditions between believers, disbelievers, and the ever-present hypocrite, that regardless of how well anything goes, how well things are moving, the hypocrites and the disbelievers will never, ever be satisfied. Now, I want to point out two classifications of men and women. These are your nibblers who take small bites at leadership and the structures that leadership creates. Disbelievers are usually the ones who help the hypocrites spin the dissatisfaction and the lie. However, a disbeliever have a slight advantage over the hypocrite, whereas the disbelievers can turn believer overnight, as opposed to the hypocrite who will stay a hypocrite for the sake of being not found out. The Quran, the book of scriptures of the Muslim, starts all of the surah chapter with "In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful." Except one surah chapter in the book starts out without "the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful." Allah won't even put his name on that particular chapter or surah. So hateful is the God towards the hypocrite. I mean, can you imagine as a believer of God being told by the Lord of all creation to beware of the hypocrite in your life and stay clear of them? Hypocrites are like microbes. They work undetected in the dark, the eyesight of the one that they are focusing their hypocrisy on. They're like little termites that nibble away at the wood until it damages the wood from within. The job of hypocrites is to damage the strong within, whether person, place, or thing. The job of a hypocrite is to destroy and test the strong and destroy the peace of mind and the work of a man and woman whom Allah God has mind, his mind and spirit within. Lord have mercy. Give me the words this afternoon to speak to your people wherever they are in the world today. You know, this world is being destroyed from within. Is that true? Do you think we are in a sane world today? No, we're not. This world today is an enemy to the Lord of creation, because creation was created in truth from the beginning. The Quran teaches that when truth comes, falsehood vanishes. And falsehood is forever a vanishing thing. if the world that we exist in today is deemed or existing in the vein of truth, then why is it being destroyed today by the very falsehood that it created? It is a world of lies, debauchery, and hypocrisy, and it is going down in fire. Those who love and study the words of God, Allah or Jehovah, knows of these words that the judgment will not be of water, but of fire. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, a wise man, taught us what Master Farad Muhammad taught him of the machinations of the devil and how to protect yourself from them in these words in the message to the black man in a section titled, The Devil. In the article, The Making of the Devil, Moses was sent to teach the savages of the jungle, who we know today as the Caucasian people, who were so savage and wild that Moses would have to sleep in a ring of fire to protect himself. In the story of Moses and the teachings of the savages, great lessons are for the mindful. You have to protect yourself when you are in the midst of savages, when you are in the midst of hypocrites who opposes your leadership. We're going to look at the hypocrite today. I'm not going to be long this afternoon because things have to be taken care of today by me. But I do want to spend this little time with you this afternoon. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad on hypocrites wrote, a hypocrite, regardless to where he appears or regardless to what organization he may be a member of, whether a governmental hypocrite, an industrial hypocrite, a business hypocrite, or a religious hypocrite, is the most unwanted and hated by God. They are double crossers. They come in claiming belief and then go out disbelieving. Hypocrites, regardless to what you do for them of righteousness, they will not see you or speak of you in a favorable light. There are those who seek to deceive you by saying that they are with you. But the Quran says, when they are alone with their devils, they will say, we are with you. We were only mocking him or her. Brothers and sisters, it is an absolute pleasure to be living in the vein of truth. Because no matter the workings of the hypocrite or liar and the mockery that's constantly being made against you, it will be returned swiftly on those and leave them blindly wandering on in the dark when it concerns you. These are the people who will buy error for guidance. So their words bring no gain to them, nor will it destroy your character. Character speaks for itself. Deeds will speak for itself. A person can go to another person and lie about you, but if you have done good deeds to the other person, they're not going to pay it no mind. Like I said, I'm going to try to be a little short this afternoon. So I'm going to move to my closing today. To my talk with you this afternoon. I'm going to pull from the Supreme Wisdom. As we are talking about hypocrites and their working in the dark. It reads that an argument arose from amongst the hypocrites about the use of money because they thought that they should share equally with the apostle, or since we're talking about modern day terms and talking about, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad stated in Message to the Black Man, we're talking about different levels where hypocrisy is being performed in. So to speak, you got governmental hypocrisy, you got business hypocrisy, you got religious hypocrisy. Yeah, you got all these things. And it's interesting how a lot of the same working in dynamics spring up everywhere. Yeah. Now, the hypocrites got to quarreling concerning the messenger of God. And it never fails. Money always comes up. Suspicions behind the money. You don't know. You just got suspicions. You don't know what a person is making unless they tell you. You just assume that, oh, he's making more than us. He or she has more freedom than us. But you don't look at the big picture. That's what hypocrites do. They don't see the level of time, the hours put in, the sacrifice. They see none of that. All they see is that you were in a supervisor role position. You were in a lofty, you're placed in a lofty position to where you are a messenger of God. That's all they see. They see the position, but they don't see the commitment, the sacrifice. They don't see the heart that causes one to be placed in such of a position. You see, hypocrites, they always want glory, the glory, but they don't want to do anything to get the glory. They don't want to work for it. And all they do is cause is nothing but stress upon stress upon stress of those who are in leadership. That's true. You want the throne, but you don't want to do what is needed to get into the throne. You see, most hypocrites, they love and desire to have more than what they have, and they also desire to be more than what they are. And hypocrites also desire to have what they are willing, what they are unwilling to work for. And they feel that you who are in leadership got it easy. And they always want the pleasure without facing the pain. People like this start up little mutiny amongst the worker, amongst the leader or supervisor, or the lead person or person that is in charge of operations. They go around whispering little words, saying things that is not true. These are your slinking devil who whispers into the heart of the men and women. And also they whisper into the ears of the fiery natured one to cause problems within the operation. Whether it's religious or business environment, the machinations and those factors are all the same, and it causes a disruption in the order in which things are operating on. Right here, I'm going to define the word mutiny. It's a simple definition. Mutiny is a forcible or passive resistance to lawful authority, especially a concerted revolt against discipline or correction from a high-ranking person. Isn't it something that when a woman or a man rise up in ranks, whether it is a business or organization who came through the same doors as you did, broke bread with you, shared in conversations with you, would now have to withstand your ambulance and lies because of a position that they earned? If you feel so strong, Mr. and Mrs. Hypocrite, about a leadership role or position that you desire to be in, then I say go to work for it. However, I suspect that people like you and people like this are not willing to withstand the amount of discipline that it takes and commitment that it takes to achieve the goal or the amount of years that it would take. People like this, they ain't right. As I said before, they love the glory, but they don't want the pain. They look at you, those of you who are in leadership, as though you just walked into something and now you got a great advantage over them. Nothing can be further from the truth. When you're placed in a supervisor role or position, that means you have a greater responsibility. That place that is placed in your lap, you have to guide the operation. That's not an easy task. Because now you have to deal with the fire of someone's jealousy, someone's envy, someone's misunderstanding. That is not an easy task, and that is not an easy place to be in, because it will cause undeserved stress. Can you imagine? You are the supervisor over an entire warehouse and a crew of people, and that every time you ask one to do a task or a job that they know they're supposed to be doing, and then they turn around and go to tell the other people, you don't have to do that. Don't pay him no mind. Don't pay her no mind. That causes stress. Deadlines have to be met in any business. But if you have those who want to cause little small mutinies amongst the leadership, then it makes that job much harder to complete or task. You know, in a book by Robert Greene, The 48 Laws of Power, the author has what is called law number 2. I'm going to read this. It says, never put too much trust in friends. Learn how to use enemies. Those of you who are in leadership, listen very carefully. He says, judgment. Be wary or weary of friends. They will betray you more quickly, for they are easily aroused to envy. They also become spoiled and tyrannical. But hire a former enemy, and he will be more loyal than a friend, because he has more to prove. In fact, you have more to fear from friends than from enemies. If you have no enemies, find a way to make them. Wow. If you have no enemy, find a way to make an enemy. But what you want to go and do that for? You know, whenever you work in a workplace, workplaces have a lot of politics. A lot of workplace politics. Everybody disliking something. Something that the person in charge is doing. Maybe he may be on the floor too much with them, and he's trying to move the operation along quicker, and you just want to sit there and loaf, just walk around like it ain't nothing, causing the operation to slow down. Maybe they see him take a break every now and then, and they taking that as being, oh, he's just going around sitting down whenever he wants, or he's going into a room to sleep. No, a true leader would not do that in the midst of his people. A true leader would not sleep in front of his people and his crew, and have them doing all the work while he's in a back room lounging somewhere. A true leader will not do that to his crew and to his people. As this man said, Mr. Green, he says, never put too much trust in friends. Do we have friends in the workplace? Well, some of you become friends. You develop relationships outside of the workplace. But for the most part, you are there mainly on an associate type level with one another. Because some, I mean, how do you define a friend? Friends are those who will come to your home, right? That you would trust to come to your home. Friends are those of you who would go out to basketball games, football games together. Those are friends. Friends are those, if you get into a financial jam, will come to help you. Friends are those who will make a loan to you if you need it, if you're in a financial jam, as I said. Friends are those who will help if you need to move from one home to another. They will be there to help you to move. But what about friends that you call friends in a workplace? You invite them to your home? Chances are, you probably never been to their home. But yet, that's my friend. Have the friend at work ever met your wife? Ever met your children? No. But yet, that's your friend. No, those are associates. Those are the ones that you are associating with. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with saying that they're your friends, but a true friend shares life with you. So when you're talking about the quest for power, Mr. Green is saying, you don't put too much trust in friends. So if a person is your friend, then what is the opposite of a friend? It's an enemy, right? Remember some of the example I just gave in the very beginning of this talk? Is that you can sit down and eat and drink with people. You can go to games with some people. Within the workforce, but the minute you are chosen to go into leadership, then the minute you start rising in the ranks, then you will find out just who is your real friend and which one will be quickly turned into your enemy. We have to see things as it is. Most people that you work with, they are mainly associates. They're not friends. Now, you know, I'm going to now start kind of, I'm going to go into something. Let me go through this book. It is Closing the Gap. I'm going to pull something from here. Written by Brother Jibril Muhammad. And the book is called Closing the Gap, Interviews of the Heart, Mind, and Soul of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And in this book, the writer said that, oh boy, let me see if I find this, because I don't want to miss this point. Since we're talking about envy, jealousy, debauchery, workplace, misdealing, it is. Says, what is envy? What are its roots? Why is it so destructive? Dictionaries are of little or no help in defining the state of mind and feeling that the word envy represents. If you ever probe the study of morality, you will find that to which envy influences vital issues are generally avoided by most writers, teachers, politicians, and scholars in all fields. Envy wears many faces or disguises. Have you ever considered that it is all but impossible to depict the person who is posing by his or herself in a picture in a way that tells the viewer that the person is envious? If you were to draw an envious person, how would that person look? It's very hard to do, if not outright impossible, due to the fact that the envy in a person cannot be detected apart from that person's relationship to the other that he or she envies. This is not always easy to see. Envy is more destructive than jealous. A jealous person, depending on where their mindset is, would take a situation in which they are jealous of, or a person that they're jealous of, and they can make it into a motivation for, I would say, competition. It's something I want to have that I see I must go to work for, because you have it and I want it. I want it for myself as well, so I'm going to go to work to get it. That's a positive thing. Allah does not frown on competition, but Allah frowns on the ones who is jealous at heart and don't want to see you with what you have. Because that jealousy would turn into envy. And envy, as we are taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, is the very absolute face of faith. Meaning that when you get into that state of being, that state of mind, you don't care about what means of cost or length that you have to go through. You want to destroy completely the person, the place, or the thing that you in. So in the book, in the Quran, there are two chapters, two surahs, chapter 113 and chapter 114. One is titled The Dawn, and the other one is titled The Men. These are chapters of refuge that the Muslims are asked to recite, especially when success is coming near to them. It says that in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I seek refuge in the Lord of the Dawn from the evil of that which he has created and from the evil of intense darkness when it comes and from the evil of those who cast evil suggestion and firm resolution and from the evil of the envier when he envies. You need protection from the envious heart. A jealous heart can be changed. But whenever a heart envies, there's no change from that. That person has become Satan personified. Now let's go to the other chapter of refuge. It says that in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, say I seek refuge in the Lord of men, the King of men, the God of men, from the evil whisperings of the slinking devil who whispers into the hearts of men from amongst the jinn and the me. Whispering. You know, the human brain can detect things. That is not readily seen by the naked eye. The human brain can detect things that is whispered. Now you hear me speaking through an instrument, and I am communicating my words to you through this instrument, and you are hearing my words clearly. But guess what? Don't you know that in a whisper can be just as powerful or just as potent as just speaking loudly? Can suggest things to you. That can actually cause you to change direction, change course, change your mind, change your heart. Just with a whisper. Does it trick the brain? You can't trick the brain. The brain records everything. But what does it do if you whisper? The whisper helps to increase the level of understanding for the brain because it has to interpret the sound. That's the reason why subtleties are very powerful. You can put a subtle message under a music tone and it gives it a power that will bypass the gods of intellect, which is your conscious mind. Those of you who play music, those of you who understand the power of music, you know, music has a tendency to do that because it goes right to the pleasure center. You can make strange suggestions through music to the listener, and the listener can be, the listener could be a student of Bible, Quran, love of God. But you can suggest something very, very raunchy, very, very ugly in the music. And then those who guard against evil, those who guard against things like that, they'll find themselves one day singing and rocking to that which you know God disapproves of. Well, how did he get there? It came in the form of a whispering. The ear is something. Because the ear goes to the pleasure center of the brain. You know what I'm talking about. And it's true. Go back to what Brother Jibril Muhammad was saying concerning this envy thing. He says that envy is an emotion that is directed towards another, without the other, a target, a victim. Envy cannot happen. As in the painting or sculpture, you can show fear, happiness, anger, or grief with far greater ease than you can show envy. It is no easy thing to portray the mind of a person who despises another for having a reputation or some skill which the person who envies may or may not lack to some degree, but who rejoices at the other's loss of such assets, even though that loss would not mean a gain for the person who envies. Envious people love deceit. Those who are in leadership stumble or make a mistake. They love that. It makes their day. They can't seem to do no better. But they love to sit up and laugh at you. So what Brother Jibril says, envy in no way can be a characteristic on which one can build brotherhood or sisterhood. The above are excerpts from materials written in 1968, but these subjects yet need to be restudied by us all, especially since we've all now come to the end. The word uncongenial means not sympathetic or compatible, not fitted, unsuitable, not to one's taste, disagreeable. It also means offensive and unfriendly. Due to the time, look further into this and other translations to deepen your grasp of what is in Allah's word. This is indeed God's day of separation, in which the Bible, the Holy Quran, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan have been teaching and warning. We're talking about conditions here. Now remember, I said these words. When truth comes, falsehood vanish. Are you the truth? Is the truth in you? Have the truth been concretized into your being? If the truth is concretized in you, then nothing that the disbeliever, the hypocrite, the liar can say about you in the workplace, in the government, that will break what and who you are. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, man, boy, you talk about a man that had one of the hardest jobs. Master Farad Muhammad, he didn't lie. Don't you know that a lot of the mosques throughout the United States were established because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was on the run from hypocrites? Look here. You had Detroit. That was mosque number one, started by Master Farad Muhammad. But all of the other mosques was started by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Then as a continuation of those mosques in their number, then in the latter time, now you have the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who went back and reestablished a lot of those mosques in the name of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And now new mosques from the time of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad have been established and added on. So now these are other mosques with other numbers. Now, when you look at Minister Farrakhan, Minister Farrakhan is a continuation of the work of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad established Downey in Houston, Texas, March 45. But at that time, Temple. But here, we're known as March 45, but the number 45 had already existed way before the believers of this particular time period came into the knowledge of. Brother Farrakhan could have came down and said, okay, this is Muhammad Mosque 49, 40, 50. He could have done that. But no, this man loved his teachers so, so much to where anything that his teacher left for us, he went and restored it and left the number as it is. That is a loving, loving man. And that is a devoted man to his teacher. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to Brother Farrakhan, do not change the teachings while I'm gone. And the ministers have not changed the teaching since the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had left. His words are still intact. However, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said don't change the teaching. He didn't say don't grow in the teaching. And that's some of the problems that we have with some of us. When you read the articles in the Message to the Black Man that makes up the book, Some of those articles was written way back in the 60s. But you have some who want to speak and exist as though we're still in the 60s. The people are different. The conditions are different. The modern days of living is different. We can't, why would you want to live in the past glory and don't make the past glory relevant in today's society and make it modern? You know what that signifies? That signifies that you have not grown if you are seeing things in that manner. Unfortunately, many of us are stuck in a time warp. And not trying to see beyond what is. So certain moves that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has made within the Nation of Islam under his leadership is being questioned by those who are out there who, I'm not saying don't love the nation. They love in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They love the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But we all do. But unfortunately, they don't like the tree that grew from that seed, from the seed of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the same fruit that came from that tree, that master tree, now has grown to be a tree and bearing fruit as well. We must deepen our understanding with this of what is taking place now. Brother Farrakhan, since 1977, there is no doubt, should be no doubt in anybody's mind, that this man is successful. He's successful in God. He's successful in the faith that his teacher gave him his assignment and his mission. You don't see Farrakhan walking around beating himself in the chest. Look what I've done. I got the mosque back. I called for 1 million men and nearly 2 million respond. I did this. You don't hear that man saying that. He always says, look what Allah has done through my faith in my teacher, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Elijah Muhammad lives in me. That's what he said. Now, how many of you out there who understand that you are a part of someone else's reality or upbringing for you? There are some of you right now who have a hard time with becoming grounded in your life, and you don't realize that the reason why you're not becoming grounded or successful as you can be is because you left your first love. And what is your first love? It was your teacher. It was your parents. If you had parents that were teaching you lessons, of life lessons. And now you done grown, you done got old enough now, you thinking that you got it now. Oh, I don't need to listen to that. I don't need to do that. But yet you're not successful in what you in your undertaking. What do you think is that? The reason why that is? It's because you went off course. You're traveling in streams now, of which was never introduced to you in the time of your youth. You went away from the person that was made, that was, I would say, shaped from within you. Unfortunately, some people have had some bad upbringing, and they have suffered in their lifetime of being unguided, misguided, lied on, talked about, bullied, all kinds of things that will cause the behavior that we see. It will cause a little jealousy. It will cause envy. Because like the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan has taught, if you are a human being in this world, then you are a wounded soul. You are a wounded human being. You have become wounded by something or someone at some point in life. Whether it was family members or people outside of your family, somebody has done or said something that was very hurtful to you and something that you have never been able to shake or heal from. Closing the gap. You must learn to close the gap. I got to tell you all something. This subject today was inspired by an incident that took place at a workplace. This man was in the same rank as the other workers. These are temporary workers that came in. He came in as a temporary. They came in as temporary workers. But the management saw something in the man, brought him into the company. Now the man rose up in the ranks, not by just being just a person that was just a common worker. But there was something about this man that caused the management to take heed of. This man, even though his work assignment ended, he left his telephone number with the then supervisor. And when he left his telephone number with him, then whenever another group of temporaries come to work, then it would cause the other supervisor to call this man again and ask, can you come help us tonight? And the man did not refuse. He said, yes, I will come. Then his work assignment ended again. More people would come, be sent, and he didn't have to be there anymore for probably another week or so, or another 2 weeks. And then when the other temporary group failed to come in or had to be let go, the supervisor would call this same man again. And this same man didn't refuse him. He came in to work. Now the management made a switch of the supervisor and then asked, can you come to work for us? I'll give you a raise. Come in and work for us because you understand the operation. So the man came. And then the man have knowledge to run the entire operation. So now he's placed in a position, in a lead position now, to guide the operation. But yet, there is another in the rank who has the ability and who has the credentials to be the supervisor. Is this man who came in the ranks and was always coming back to become, to perform the task whenever needed, has the resume? No. But this man submitted to the one who had the resume and gladly served him as his lead person. Now, the time came now that the company wants to go in another direction without the supervisor. Now, who would be the one that will move up in that rank? It would be the lead person. Now, the minute the lead person now is moving up in rank now, and the management see that this man can lead this crew, this man can lead this operation. Now he's gonna be made the supervisor. I want y'all to listen to this. Now the others that's in the same ranking with him, they begin to start whispering. Why should he have that position? I'm here, I do this work. Hey, I think I'm better than him. See, when you start thinking that you're better than a person, then that is the mind of Satan. Because you don't know the level of commitment that this person had to go through. You don't know anything about his client, his or her climb up the ranks. All you see is that, oh, they going to make him a supervisor? You don't make him a supervisor for. I'm better than him. He don't need to be in that position. I need that position. Well, why do you feel that you need that position? What did you do in order to place yourself in that position? You see, some people just want more than what they're willing to give. And not willing to work for what it is that they say they want. And so now, the person who rose up in ranks and they become a target for your hatred, for your envy, for your jealousy, for your dislike. Huh? Hello, am I talking to somebody out there today? You ought to be ashamed of yourself. But see, shame means nothing to a devil. A person like that say, oh, thank you so much. Thank you. I was wondering if you could see me and what I'm doing. Thank you so much. So to all you haters, to all you debauchery, make up a word. To all you who envy, to all you who is jealous, there's a way for you to help heal yourself. There's a way to heal yourself. Stop trying to fight that which you can't win. It's not made for you. If you desire to have and you desire to do a certain job or task, then I suggest you get on your way and do it. Stop causing problems out there, because I can guarantee you this, that if the supervisor or the leader or the teacher that you despise was to get up and identify you and walk out and say, you handle this operation, I will give you one whole entire week to handle this operation. I can guarantee you that you will be left in a state of not knowing what to do. The people will fall away from you and the clamoring will begin. And all that you have spent, all the time that you have spent going around bad mouthing and talking to other people about that man or that woman, they're going to turn around and do the same thing to you, because there's really no love amongst haters. All you do is backbite. You're wasting your time. Focus on being a strong man within. Focus on learning to work with others, and I guarantee you at some point in time, your time of leadership will come, and you don't, and trust me, you don't want what you're putting on the other person. So I want to say thank you for listening to me today. May Allah be with you all this week and bless you with the light of understanding. As-salamu alaykum. Peace. Love you all.